The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
All right, what an exciting day, everybody. Happy Halloween and welcome to Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisberg, Heath Cummings. Happy Halloween, guys. How's your spooky, spooky morning going?
Spooky. Spooky.
Good.
No trick-or-treaters yet, so that's good.
There will be no trick-or-treaters at all at my house.
What is Andrew doing for Halloween?
We have a Where's Waldo get-up for him. I don't think he's going to put the glasses on. He's just going to try to break them, but everything else should be good. It's going to be fun.
Are you wearing your Giants onesie around the neighborhood?
No. I was going to buy a Dwight Schrute costume and wear it on the show today, but when I went to buy it, it was sold out. So I don't have a costume.
Are you going to like take him to the park and then play Where's Waldo? Like sit him down and turn around and like play hide and seek?
We're just
going
to leave him alone.
Probably not smart to do
in the park.
With its child.
Yeah, just trying to find him. We're going to walk around with his cousins and have some fun. It's going to be great. We got some Halloween awards today, fantasy MVP and LVP, but Halloween themed. We could say trick or treat instead of start or sit if we want. That'd be fun. And Jamie, what wild animal is on your face right now? What is going on with your face?
I'm going full start of the week. I'm supporting Gardner Minshew. So I decided to wear the Minshew. I don't look as good as Heath does, but, I decided to shave the Minshew just for in honor of Minshew being the start of the week.
Well, that is pretty
spooky. It's a trend. It's happening. Dave, you're next.
Maybe
Adam's like 2 months away. So
Gardner Max Chew could exist.
Oh gosh. All right. Well, it looks good, I guess. And let's get into the let's get into the show. All right, we got a lot. There are so many AFC home games. By the way, this week there are only like 4 NFC home games or something like that. So not all of the AFC home games will be on today's show, but even the Jets-Dolphins game is pretty interesting from a fantasy perspective. Can you trust any Browns this week? Obviously, you're going to start Nick Chubb, but what about Odell Beckham? Is he once again going to be crappy? Deshaun Watson, can he break his history against Jacksonville? But I want to, before we get into starter sit, I want to ask you about some sneaky ad drops, because one guy we didn't talk about on the waiver wire show was Chris Thompson, who might be back this week, and they have a bye next week. They got Buffalo this week, but is Chris Thompson a must-own in PPR? And would you rather own Thompson or Darius Geis? Both of these guys are available in some leagues. I know they're Redskins running backs, but what do you think about Thompson and Geis right now, guys? Are they good ads?
I'd much rather stash Geis, no pun intended, than pick up Chris Thompson at this point.
Yeah, I think Geis has a lot more upside. And Thompson is a must-own when we know that he's a full go and he's playing in PPR. But he's not someone that has a high enough profile that I'm going to stash him weeks before he comes back. If you tell me he's playing this week and he plays, he'll probably score 8 or 9 PPR points, and then I'm going to want to add him next week.
Yeah, on a bye, though.
Add him 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you'll want him for week 11 against the Jets.
Jets, Lions, Panthers, Packers are the 4 games for the Redskins coming out of the bye, so maybe Darius Geis not a bad player to pick up. It's possible they could just turn him loose and say, all right, Adrian Peterson, you had fun. Now you're getting, 5 carries a game. You think that realistic?
I doubt it, but it should be a situation where he's the primary guy. I mean, they're such a poorly run franchise, but they have to start to look at 2020 and say, okay, is Haskins our guy? Is Geis our guy? They have 2 young players that could be prominent figures for them in their offense, and if they don't find out if they're any good, what's the point?
Sure. Okay. Jeff Wilson tonight at Arizona. Trey Edmonds for Pittsburgh. Do you have any interest in those two guys, sort of the backups? The backups.
I think all the 49ers are healthy, right?
We don't know which ones will be active.
I don't know most, but Breida sounds like he's fine.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right. The only way you'd consider Wilson is if Breida and Mostert were inactive. It's the only way.
So no Wilson.
And you won't know that till 90 minutes before kick.
What about Trey Edmonds?
And then, so you could stash Trey Edmonds in the deepest of leagues. We know that Connor didn't practice on Wednesday. Neither did Benny Snell. Full practice for Jalen Samuels, though. So could be an opportunity.
Yeah,
for
I don't
guy.
See Edmonds.
And then Edmonds would be the backup to him.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So no. And then I was just going through some my lineups yesterday. You know, I have some leagues that you can't make transactions the day of. So you got to make sure you get your Thursday guys squared away in case there are injuries or anything. And came across Zane Gonzalez, who's been really good. Kicker for the Cardinals. But I dropped him. I think I dropped him. I put in a claim. I'm assuming I dropped him. I don't think anybody else going after kickers right now. Because the Niners, look, we don't talk about this a lot. The Niners are third. They give up the third fewest points to kickers. You don't score a lot. Now, I could feel really stupid if the Cardinals score 12 points tonight on four field goals, but just want to know.
That's what we're all cheering for now.
Yeah. Just want to know your thoughts on that. I mean, how high do you have Zane Gonzalez ranked? Should we get away from him this week in a tough matchup?
I still have him 12th.
Yeah,
I get away from him as a starter, but
I sunk him. I dropped him in a few leagues too. Adam, he's been my kicker as well, but yeah, I would try and get away from Zane Gonzalez if you can.
Sure, Brett Maher with Dallas is better.
Nick Folk is available everywhere.
Nick Folk is a great one.
Mike Badgley, yeah.
Badgley.
Yeah.
But is Nick Folk?
I had a Badgley.
Is Nick Folk a great one? Because he might not be that good of a kicker. I mean, the Pats.
We don't know. He hasn't kicked in like 2 years.
But it's the Thursday show, and we spent like 4 minutes on a kicker now. Come on.
It's for you, Heath. Happy Halloween. Okay, so let's make Heath happy. Let's do our Halloween awards. So the first award is called the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Award. It goes to the best of the best, the fantasy MVP, clearly the best candy. Ooh, spooky music. Halloween beats Home Alone. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Award, who is your fantasy MVP so far?
Lamar Jackson. I think
good
he
one.
Scored the most points, and he was available in the double-digit rounds. That makes him the easy choice as the MVP.
I think you're wrong about the points, though. I think Deshaun Watson has scored
per game. Points per game.
Well, okay. Any other MVPs? Come on, the Patriots. The SD is clearly the MVP.
I'll stay in the theme of Halloween. I'll go Michael Myers Thomas.
Michael Myers Thomas, the number one PPR wide receiver. Okay, go ahead.
Despite having the quarterback situation being what it was, he hasn't let you down.
That's true. That's a good point. Dave, MVP?
I think the Patriots DST definitely qualifies as a fantasy MVP. People might have drafted
pat yourself on the back, man. Take the victory lap on the guy you touted all
season. Who, Waller?
Yeah.
He's not bad either. But
oh, yeah.
Patriots DST, people took them late. I like them because I thought their early season schedule after week one was good. Turned out every single game they play, they just have something fortunate happened for their DST, and they've helped me off to some great records in a lot of the leagues that we play in together. Waller is definitely somebody who's helped. DJ Chark, top 5 to 10 receiver in fantasy this year, points per game. He's been a great find as well.
All right, next award is the Yellow Starburst Award, also known as the Orange Starburst Award. They're both terrible. The fantasy LVP.
Isn't the pink Starburst Awards?
Oh,
you're all way off base.
No, the
you're
pink and the red
so
are good,
off.
And the orange the and the yellow are terrible. Yeah,
no. Nothing's worse than the house on Halloween that gives out that brown and orange wrap candy with nothing on the wrapper. You don't know what's inside. It's just like a random generic candy.
Ooh, I don't know.
You
that.
Live in a strange neighborhood.
Yeah,
I once had people give me bread for Halloween. It's crazy.
Zach Ertz is the LVP.
Come on, Heath.
Well,
let's
he's
talk
at least
about
giving
candy.
Me some good games.
Zachary,
I'd go Le'Veon.
Let's talk about candy.
Le'Veon,
OJ Howard. OJ Howard.
Yeah.
He was like a top. Him and AJ Green, top 60 pick, both useless. Hopefully, AJ Green can give us something starting in week 10. But goodness gracious, they've been tough.
Okay, so the LVP, this the yellow starburst. Which one's worse, yellow or orange? I think it actually might be orange.
It's yellow.
What a strange candy! Like half of the package is crap. And yet I still really enjoy Starburst. All right, next award. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre Award. The player you need to cut. Who should we cut?
I've got four. I got four Ooh. Guys that we can cut.
There's one winner, Dave. You got to pick a winner.
How about I Who's name? The these are the nominations, and you can pick the one that's
well,
the winner.
Well, I picked a winner.
Who's your winner?
Auden Tate.
Okay.
He's over.
He's not on my list.
Okay.
But I get it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Jamie.
Go ahead.
Larry Fitzgerald. LeSean McCoy.
No way.
Jarvis Landry. Sammy Watkins.
You know,
I think the winner is Auden Tate.
Yeah. I think Jarvis Landry's on pace for like over 12, about almost 1,200 yards and no touchdowns.
That's great. He gets me 6 or 7.
And I kind of like him this week against Denver with them putting Chris Harris on Beckham.
If they do that.
I think they will.
He's also on pace for like 62 catches or something, which is very, very weird for him, for Jarvis Landry, and 16 yards per catch, which is also weird. I got Kenny Stills as a guy to cut. What do you think? He's like 80%
owned. You can cut him. Sure.
Because you have to like
him
this week.
You're not going to use him this week.
Right.
Right. The guys yeah. I added, the guys I named are all owned in like 85% plus, like widely owned. I don't know why.
All right. And finally,
I guess just bench depth.
The Freddy Krueger Award. The Freddy Krueger Award, the player that will haunt your dreams forever. Ooh, spooky. What do we
Does
got?
Does it have to be a player from this year?
No.
It can be a player from the past?
Yes.
All right.
I'll go Ronnie Hillman.
I put that in the email. Oh, Ronnie
I've got Hillman. Another Broncos running back.
The cockroach.
Monte Ball.
Oh.
Remember spending a first-round pick on Monte Ball?
Mm-hmm.
No, of course, no one ever did that. Why would we ever?
Mine was Russell Wilson.
So
Russell Wilson keeps you up at night, Heath.
Yes. Yeah, he scares me because he always, like, you don't know when he's going to have the game where he throws 25 passes and 4 touchdowns and he's a lot better than we thought he was going to be, or the game where he throws 25 passes and 0 touchdowns.
So just start him. What's he going to do this week against Tampa Bay?
It's Tampa Bay, so I presume he's going to be good, but
28 passes.
28 passes.
28 passes. Touchdowns? 26 touchdowns.
6 touchdowns.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, those are your Halloween awards. Do you guys have any? Oh, well, there should have been a Butterfinger. You know, I'm sort of interested in trying the new Butterfinger because they say it's
We've
improved.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I'll do it. You know, I won't
Mark
try the
Walton
old one.
Mark Walton is the player that's going to surprise us in Week 9.
Time for our Teleboard News segment.
He's moving right along.
It's game time. It's Tully time. It's time for your Player of the Week presented by Teleboard Do. Dave, Jamie, and Heath are going to give us a player that could surprise us in Week 9. Heath, who is your Teleboard Do Player of the Week?
Mark Walton. Good matchup against the Jets. I think it's better than what the numbers said. We kind of said this with Gardner Minshew last week, that they look like they're really good in terms of certain stats against yep. quarterbacks, but I didn't think their defense was that good. Their run defense actually was pretty good, but now they're missing some key players, and I don't think they will be anymore. I expect somewhere around 15 to 17 touches, 75 to 80 yards, and hopefully a touchdown.
They've allowed either 98 total yards or a touchdown to a running back in every game. So,
yeah.
I mean, if that trend continues, Walton's.
I've been nudging him up, but it's just hard to trust the Dolphins running back. It's been so tough. It's been ugly.
It's just a matter, like, I think the 70 yards, total yards, yeah. is probably safe if he gets that workload. The frustrating thing, though, is going to be watching Kalen Ballage score 3 times. You know, it's like it's going to be yeah. one of those games where he's the one that falls in the end zone twice.
All right. Well, I think we actually have Walton in our 60-second rankings dispute, so we'll talk about that. Dave, your player of the week, surprising player of the week.
How about Devin Singletary, who got a lot more playing time last week? I think that's because the Bills were playing from behind, but Buffalo should be in a situation where they'll be able to run the ball very well against Washington. I originally liked Frank Gore a lot this week, and as I thought about it, I went, you know what? Devin Singletary seems to be the guy that's been getting more explosive runs than Frank Gore. I think that goes without saying, and there's been a lot of talk in Buffalo this week, certainly from the coaches as well, about Devin Singletary and how they want to get the ball in their playmakers' hands, and I think that he just qualifies better than that, and I think he'll get more touches than Frank Gore. I've got Singletary as a low-end number 2 fantasy running back this week.
So it's kind of interesting.
I believe they really haven't used him in the first half of many games.
He and Gore split first half snaps last week. They were dead even.
He still doesn't have 10 touches in a game.
I know. This will be the
amazing.
Week.
That's amazing.
The week.
I currently have him benched in PPR for Chris Thompson, and I could see myself really struggling with that. But what would
Chris
you guys
Thompson?
Do? Yeah, Thompson.
Well, Chris
or
Thompson didn't. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Okay. I wouldn't even put Chris Thompson near an active spot.
I think you should play the guy that's going
well,
to play.
Well, okay, yes, right. That would be an easy call. But if Chris Thompson plays, which
I'd
you know, at the beginning of the week it seemed like he was on track. All right, you'd still play Singletary. All right.
I think he's got a better chance to score.
Jamie, who's your Telemordu player of the week?
I'm going to go back to what I said about Singletary last week and use it for the guy that's in a similar role. You know, I said that Singletary would play well against the Eagles because of the they can't defend pass-catching running backs, and he had four catches for 30 yards and a touchdown. And so I think the same thing with Tariq Cohen this week. You know, you're looking at a scenario of I think the Bears are trailing. I think the Bears are going to be losing this game. Heath brought this up last week about the numbers for both Montgomery and Cohen in games that they've lost. Now, last week was a little different one because the game was back and forth and it was close. But and you look three of the four games where they've lost so far this year, he's been 10 or more PPR points. So I think this is a game where Tariq Cohen, not a non-PPR because he's just a disaster in that format, but I think you're going to see him in the 5-plus catch range again. Hopefully it's more than 19 yards, as we saw earlier this year. He had a 9-for-19 game. But I think in PPR, he's at least a flex and a potential starter for you. I like him better than Montgomery in PPR.
All right, so our players that could surprise you this week, Mark Walton for Heath, Devin Singletary for Dave, Tariq Cohen for Jamie. Is Walton the best of that group?
By far.
Yes. I've got Singletary higher for now.
Wow. Really?
You know how I feel about Dolphins running backs. I don't want to trust them if I don't have to.
Okay. Okay.
But
fair enough.
The Bills running backs are safe.
Against Washington, I think so.
Against the Jets?
It's I don't know how good the Dolphins
are. I don't know where the correlation here is. If you're saying safety and matchup, I think
Singletary is a better player. I wouldn't be surprised if Singletary had as many touches as Walton.
Oh, let's make a bet on touches between
Walton and
that would be
surprising. Let's make any bet you want. Any bet you want.
Jamie has to grow a hideous mustache. Oh, damn it.
Any bet you want on touches.
I've already won. He's
if they're both healthy.
By the way, you can see Jamie's hideous mustache. It's not really not that bad. On youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Check out our video product. youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Getting into the stats and the rankings.
Wait, did we get a bet?
No.
Okay, that's disappointing.
Letting you work that out.
We got another day. We'll work something out.
Stats to know. Cleveland allows the 7th most fantasy points to running backs, 4.7 yards per carry to running backs. So they've given up the 7th most fantasy points to running backs. Philip Lindsay's already faced the teams that give up the 6th and the 8th most fantasy points to running backs, and he's had huge games. 24 or more PPR points both times. So I've been crapping on Philip Lindsay for a while. I kind of like Philip Lindsay this week. How about you guys?
Of course.
I actually think Royce Freeman could be really interesting because Lindsay mispracticed with a wrist injury, and that was the injury that knocked him out for the season last year in week 17. So if he's out, Royce Freeman would be an absolute monster. Absolute monster.
Yeah, but that is true. But what if Lindsay's in?
I'll play them both.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, the quarterback situation being what it is. You know, is it just stack the box and make Brandon Allen throw? And that could be a disaster for them. So I think Lindsay's kind of is what he is. He's a good number two running back. Will he be the one scoring, as we've seen from Freeman now to the last three games, where he's the one finding the end zone? So I at this point, I think you're clearly starting Lindsay, but I'd kind of like to see if he sat out a game just to see how good Royce Freeman could be in a future role.
Also, I don't know. Like, the Browns have played a very difficult schedule in terms of running teams. Their three games before the Patriots game, Seattle, San Francisco, Baltimore. A lot of teams would rank high in terms of fantasy points allowed to running back.
Of course.
If they played those teams.
Okay, good point. Wide receivers against Denver.
Call this stats that are skewed for week 9.
No. Staying in this game, wide receivers against Denver. Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, DJ Chark, Keenan Allen, and T.Y. Hilton. They all failed to score double-digit fantasy points in PPR. Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, DJ Chark, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton. Also, all of them have been better than Odell Beckham this year. So can we really start Beckham? I looked at your rankings. He's around 20th or so. And with all the buys, I mean, I looked at all the guys behind him. It's not like there are these must-start guys behind him, so I get that. But do you want to start Beckham this week?
No. I mean, you know, I think I was the lowest on Beckham last week. And you're 100% right, Adam. If we had better receivers available, he'd be lower again. It's just hard to say start Devontae Parker over Odell Beckham, even though Parker's probably in a better spot. You know, Emmanuel Sanders tonight, you know, he's probably in a better spot.
Danny Amendola,
perfect example. You know, so I think I'm really curious though with Denver, because list the teams again that Chris Harris has shut down.
Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, yeah. DJ Chark, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton.
Okay, think about all those guys. There's not a good number two receiver on the field.
Actually, some of the number two receivers did well. I think MVS did well.
But that's what what I'm saying is there's not a number two receiver that you're scared of. And I know Jarvis Landry clearly is not at the level of Odell Beckham. And I'm sure Chris Harris is going to follow him around. But I just wonder if, you know, it's just, okay, you stay on one side of the field and we'll take away one guy. Because Landry's been playing well.
All right, another stat to know for the week. Matthew Stafford's having a career year. 105.3 passer rating is by far his best, as is 8.4 yards per attempt. And now he's coming off two straight monster games and is facing a team that gives up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Meanwhile, the Patriots allow the fewest fantasy points to running backs, but I have noticed, you know, obviously we know the Patriots' schedule has been really easy. I have noticed the last three of their last five games kind of struggled against the run. Frank Gore had 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell had 15 for 70. Nick Chubb, they all averaged 4.7 yards per carry or better. Dave, how much do you like Mark Ingram?
I like him as a number two running back this week. Can't put him in my top 10 or anything like that. But yeah, I think this is a matchup that can be exploited. It's just a matter of if the Ravens really, really stick to their run game. My guess is that they will. And can he find the end zone? Because Ingram has not had a lot of, how many 100-yard games has he had this year?
The one against Kansas City.
Right. He hasn't had a lot of them. So he kind of needs that touchdown, but I think he's going to get the work. That's the least you could ask for.
Yeah. I think he's going to be the first running back to score against the Patriots this season. They've yet to allow a touchdown to a running back so far. We had a good discussion about this on CBS Sports HQ yesterday with Drink P. Prisco, and Heath and I were debating Derrick Henry versus Mark Ingram. And I think they're very similar. They're clearly touchdown dependent. They're not going to work a lot in the passing game. You could say Derrick Henry probably has the better matchup on paper just based on fantasy points allowed. I would lean slightly toward Ingram because I do think coming off the bye, fresh legs for a running back that's 29. Like you said, Adam, if Nick Chubb doesn't fumble twice in that game, I think it's a little bit of a different ball game in terms of things unfold there.
Wow. Mm.
And he may have even had a bigger performance. He may have scored.
Yep.
So you said it. You know, they're not big up front. But Pete's point to this was that this is a Bill Belichick scheme against what you think the Ravens do best and force Lamar Jackson into some uncomfortable situations, which he's done to, you know, quarterbacks like this time and time again. And so that's going to be, I think, the chess match of this game is can they sort of try and bully their way against the Patriots and, you know, lean on time of possession, lean on their run game, you know, sort of limit Lamar Jackson from having to be put in these tough spots. So it's going to be a fun game to sort of see it unfold. And I know, Heath, you know, you're not poo-pooing Ingram. You have his number two running back. But it's just a matter of how good will Ingram be? You know, where's the ceiling, I think, for him?
Okay. So that's the first game we'll preview, that Patriots game. Everybody's got Lamar Jackson, I think, as a top seven quarterback, but you can get away from him. There are some options this week. Deontay Johnson, one more stat. Deontay Johnson has had 6 to 8 targets in four straight games with Mason Rudolph. Johnson's 44% owned. 6 to 8 targets. There have been 6 wide receivers with 6 to 8 targets against the Colts. 5 of them have 70 yards or a touchdown. Kind of interesting for Deontay Johnson. And Tyrell Williams, last one here. He does lead the team in targets inside the 10-yard line, green zone. And that's with missing 2 games. And five touchdowns this year, 4 of them in the red zone, 3 of them from 11 yards out or closer. That's Tyrell Williams. So
be interesting to see if with Darius Slay playing, is he
playing?
He practiced yesterday. So
yeah, he's been practicing for weeks and he still hasn't played.
Oh yeah, no, it's really a huge deal. I mean, Darius Slay didn't play much against the Vikings, didn't play at all against the Giants, and 2 quarterbacks combined for I think 8 touchdowns, and they both had about 330 yards. So
yep.
But now the trade deadline's passed, so you wonder if he's going to be out there.
Yeah. All right. So Darius Slay. Big injury. We'll talk more about injuries in a second. And could really affect your FanDuel lineup. If Darius Slay plays, maybe you don't go with Tyrell Williams. If he doesn't play, maybe you do go with Tyrell Williams. Well, the football season gives us opportunities to win some money and play more fantasy football. And there's just more and more ways to win on FanDuel than ever before. There are different types of contests that you can play. And I prefer the 50-50s personally. But I'm starting to get into the tournaments because I want to win that $1 million and, you know, buy an island and retire. Be a pretty crappy island for $1 million. But I'm in. Anyway, if you go to FanDuel.com/FFT and you sign up, if you haven't used it before, you go to FanDuel.com/FFT. You put in $20, you get $20 back, basically. You get $5 in site credit every week for 4 weeks. And you're not going to get stuck with a lineup that you regret. You don't have to worry about buys. You don't have to worry about bad matchups or injuries or anything that's questionable. You just play the best players, the players that you want to play. You can make amazing lineups, really, really fun teams, high-scoring teams. And with all the knowledge that you've got from listening to this podcast, you can go on FanDuel and you can win some money. Sign up right now at FanDuel.com/FFT. Again, you make a $20 bonus. You get $5 in site credit every week for 4 weeks. And then you put those $5 right into our Fantasy Football Today podcast listeners league every week on FanDuel. It's at FanDuel.com/FFT, FanDuel.com/FFT, or download the FanDuel app. Guys, 60-second rankings disputes, and I mean it this time. Jacoby Brissett, 18th for Jamie, 19th for Dave, 9th for Heath. Heath, you can start. I'll put you against Jamie here. You've got Brissett 9th at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I expect this to be a competitive game. I'm not sure that the Colts will have much success running the ball against the Steelers. And whenever Jacoby Brissett has been forced to throw passes, he's been very good. He's got three games this year with more than 30 pass attempts. One of them 310 yards, two touchdowns. Another one 326, four touchdowns. Another one 265 and three. And I do think like the Steelers defense is good. I think it's better against the run than it is against the pass, or at least it has been so far this year in terms of yards per play. And so I expect Brissett to be a low-end starter.
They've been completely dominant against opposing quarterbacks since getting Minkah Fitzpatrick. So from week three on, it's been a just total disaster for opposing quarterbacks against them. I don't see this game being high-scoring at all, so I don't think Brissett's going to throw a lot. And his numbers on the road have been terrible. So I would stay away from Jacoby Brissett. I would actually start Jimmy Garoppolo tonight over Brissett.
Since they've added Minkah,
you're not part of that.
No,
what,
Dave.
I can't give a stat?
No, this is 60-second rankings
Fine.
Disputes.
I'm out. I was going to give a good stat.
Respect the segment. Now you can argue with Jamie here. Marlon Mack in PPR at Pittsburgh. So same game, same team. Marlon Mack, Jamie has him 14th. Dave has him 21st. And Heath has Marlon Mack 15th in PPR. Okay, Dave, you can start. You're the low guy on Marlon Mack, 21st in PPR.
I think the Steelers' run defense is good. I think their defense is good in general, and I think Marlon Mack is going to have a hard time finding 100 yards or a touchdown against them.
60 and a touchdown. Book it.
60 and a touchdown? All right. That'll probably get you in the top 15.
If he gets you that, then he will. I don't think he'll get that.
The Steelers have dominated the last three backfields they've faced. That would be Mark Ingram, the Chargers, and the Dolphins, all average 3.2 yards per carry or worse. Mark Ingram did score. Next up, we have Mark Walton. So this will put Dave versus Heath. Dave has Mark Walton 28th in PPR, Heath 14th. We already heard Heath. We already heard Heath's take on Mark Walton. So why don't we do Dave versus Jamie? Because Jamie has Walton 16th. So Dave, I'll let you start it again. You're the low guy on Walton by far, 28th.
I've moved him up. I think he's right around 24th for me now. And I think I took a look at his touches. He'll have more touches than Devin Singletary, but I think Singletary will have a better fantasy game than Mark Walton. If you want to consider that for a bet, I just don't know how effective he'll be. The offensive line for the Dolphins is bad. I know the Jets defense is bad. I think the Jets offense is going to be very good in this game because the Dolphins defense is so bad. That'll take Walton out of the passing game. We know that he's also not necessarily the guy at the goal line. I think, what'd you say, 70 or 80 yards for Mark Walton, somewhere in that range? I think that's close to the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, taking him out of the passing game is fine, but last week in the first game without Kenyon Drake, he had 6 targets, so I don't see how that's going to be a situation where he's out of the passing game in a game. If you think they're chasing points, I think actually he'll be probably more involved in the passing game. So, you're talking about Jets defense that was bad against running backs with Leonard Williams, and now you're taking Leonard Williams and CJ Mosley off the field. I think it's an easy spot to, if you're ever going to buy into a Dolphins running back, this is the week to do it. At home game against a bad Jets defense, I think Mark Walton is going to be a very, very good fantasy option this week.
All right, and finally, Terry McLaurin. Let's go Jamie versus Heath here. Jamie and Dave, not really considering Terry McLaurin this week at Buffalo. Heath, I'm sure you don't love Terry McLaurin, but you can at least make the case for him as a number three receiver. You have him 32nd in PPR.
Yeah, I don't really want. Like, I thought I was pretty down on Terry McLaurin, so I don't have much of an argument to make for him.
My
argument for him is there's four teams on a bye, 7 wide receivers we generally rank in our top 30, and I think McLaurin's too good to drop outside of the top 40, no matter who the matchup is.
Okay.
Is it weird to anybody that he's only had one target from Dwayne Haskins so far?
His quarterback from college, too.
Yeah. I know.
I don't think you're supposed to be talking during this part.
Oh, that's right. I have to.
I was gonna go to a different one, the Jacksonville DST, which is...
Oh, come on. We get so precious little time for rankings debates, and we're going to do DSTs and kickers now.
DSTs are important, too, you know. You've got them 5th, Heath. Ugh. You got Jacksonville 5th. Dave and Jamie have them 14th, or Dave has them 19th, and Jamie has them 14th.
They've got a good pass rush. The Texans give up a lot of sacks. They scored 12 fantasy points the last time they played the Texans, and they're in London, and no team is more comfortable in London than Jacksonville.
The Bears might be. I mean, the Raiders, excuse me.
The Raiders. Yeah. All right. So
Bears, not so much.
Dave, argue against the Jags DST real quick.
There's only been three DSTs that have put up double-digit fantasy points against the Texans this year. I don't think they might get a bunch of sacks.
Jacksonville is one of them.
Back in week two?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. They had Jalen Ramsey. Did he play in that game or not?
Yes.
I don't, probably.
Yes, okay. He did. And he did a very good job.
I'm expecting the Texans offense to keep rolling and buck the trend that Deshaun Watson has had over his career against Jacksonville. And I would rather trust a bunch of other DSTs than the Jaguars.
I don't like DST very much this week, but I don't like DST very much in general. So that could be it.
Yeah. Come on, Heath. Open your mind. Open your mind. Kickers and DSTs are people too. Or units.
DSTs are team or units.
There are a lot of people. You don't just dislike one person. You dislike a lot of people. 11 people that you hate.
Mostly just dislike you.
Injuries, news, and notes. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes was limited. Do we expect him to play?
I hope so, but probably not.
Okay, we'll preview that tomorrow. Matt Ryan seems likely to return next week. Case Keenum questionable due to a concussion. So right now we're thinking Haskins. Running back James Conner sat. Philip Lindsay, sore wrist. We talked about the Niners running backs. Looks like Breida's going to play. Obviously, Coleman's going to play. Chase Edmonds is out. David Johnson is questionable. And the Cardinals are going to go running back by committee, according to Cliff Kingsbury. Guys,
you saw Schefter's report today, right?
No.
David Johnson not expected to play.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So what do you think about Kenyon Drake tonight against San Francisco?
I mean, it's probably going to be a hot hand approach. So if he does get off to a good start, you know, they're probably going to ride him, but, you know, 3 days to learn the playbook and, you know, against San Francisco, I just don't know what, from a fantasy perspective, how you could trust it, you know. So if you play in the showdowns, maybe it's worth the price, you know, on FanDuel. But I just think that in seasonal leagues, unless you're completely stuck, I would try and stay away from all the Cardinals. Like, it wouldn't be a surprise if it's a Zach Zenner game, if an Alfred Morris game, you know, or just nobody plays well.
Start Mark Walton.
Okay, well, you guys gave me three running backs earlier, Walton, Singletary, and Cohen. Would you start all of them over Kenyon Drake?
I would take Drake over Cohen for sure in non-PPR. And I would imagine I would probably still take Drake over Cohen in PPR.
I'd take Drake over Singletary.
I would start all of them over Drake.
Would you start Odell Beckham or Kenyon Drake?
Odell.
Beckham.
Okay. Miles Sanders.
I can't believe that's a question.
It's a fair question.
I get why you asked it. I get it, but I can't believe it.
I can't believe
Odell's been that bad.
Oh, man. I'm not sure I would start Beckham. Chris Harris has been really good.
It wasn't far off last week with Drake not playing.
Miles Sanders missed practice. We think he's going to play, right?
Yes.
I think so.
I really like Jordan Howard this week a lot.
I do too. I loved watching him last week. That offensive line was just mauling Buffalo, and he was falling forward and dragging defenders. He was good.
Alvin Kamara seems likely to return next week, and Christian McCaffrey has some knee soreness, but they're calling it no big deal. Davante Adams does have a chance to play. DeSean Jackson practiced, but he's not a lock to play. Adam Thielen was limited in practice as he's making progress there. Marquise Brown's going to play. Sterling Shepard has a chance to play. D.D. Westbrook was limited in practice, so does D.D. Westbrook look like he's going to play this week?
We're not going to know Sunday.
Yeah, and I think if you're Jacksonville, you know, with the bye next week and the fact that Chris Conley's playing well, I would probably lean on the side of resting him. But, you know, Marquise Lee being on IR could change some things.
Being limited on Wednesday is a pretty good sign. I feel more optimistic than I did at the beginning of the week, but sure. I thought like Jamie did that he just wouldn't play.
I'd make the assumption he's limited in practice all week. And if that changes and he's out for a day, then that's probably not a good sign.
AJ Green probably going to play next week, and Keenan Allen still dealing with a hamstring injury. So he's kind of like, it could be a game time decision every week. I mean, he played last week, but, was a little bit limited in the snaps. Keenan Allen. Tight end Chris Herndon was limited in practice. He's trending in the right direction. He's 41% owned, and you might be able to get him and start him this week at Miami. Where does Chris Herndon rank for you guys? Is he ranked?
He'd be around 12.
He'd be in the streaming mix.
14 to 15.
He would hurt poor Ryan Griffin.
Well, if he's going to be fantasy relevant, he's going to have to hurt somebody else. Because Ryan Griffin scored 2 touchdowns on 2 targets.
Yeah.
If we're thinking Chris Herndon...
And a 2-point conversion after...
We're thinking Chris Herndon's going to come in and get 5 targets against the Dolphins, then we've got some problems with somebody on the Jets.
Yeah, or he's going to hurt the Dolphins. That's who he's going to hurt. O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate both missed practice. And let's see, other news. Earl Thomas has a knee injury. That's not good. Buffalo cornerback Levi Wallace is questionable. Darius Slay was limited in practice. Houston could get two starting defensive backs back this week at Jacksonville. That could help against Gardner Minstash. And that's basically it.
Why would you poo-poo Minshew?
I'm not.
What's wrong with you?
I'm not.
What's wrong with you?
Nothing.
I hope you get all candy corn tonight.
I don't actually like candy corn. I'm fine with candy corn. It's okay.
Explains a lot about you.
I don't love it.
It fits perfectly.
I don't seek it. Also, I'm going to give this take.
I hope all you get is old Butterfingers, yellow Starburst, and candy corn.
I'm going to tell you.
And Dave's weird candy that he got as a kid.
Oh, so weird.
This is going to be an unpopular take. While shocking. Still very good.
I will pull the list up just a second.
While still very good, Kit Kat is an overrated candy. People act like it's like one of the best. It's like top 10. It's not top 3. It's fine.
I don't think that's a terrible.
Yeah, that's not a terrible take, but I mean, you know,
it's a little overrated. It's top 10. It's a Matthew Stafford. It's not a Lamar Jackson. Start, sit, or flex the best. Josh Allen against the Redskins.
Why wouldn't it be trick, treat?
Oh, yeah.
Throw it back at best.
Trick or treat.
Trick, treat, or give it to your sibling.
Trick, treat, or give it to your sibling. Or egg the house. Josh Allen against Washington.
Treat.
Adrian Peterson at Buffalo.
Treat.
Trick.
I don't want to sit him.
Frank Gore. Storm. Wait, did you say treat, Jamie?
Wow. Your subconscious came out there.
Wow.
Don't want to start it.
Frank Gore?
Yeah, Frank Gore.
I think he's a treat too.
He's a, what's the one for flex? Give to your siblings.
Flex at best.
Wait, so Jamie, you like Adrian Peterson this week?
I do.
Okay. The Jets wide receivers at Miami.
Treat.
Their give to the siblings.
Start Robbie. Flex at best for the other two.
All right. Robbie Anderson typically gets 6 to 8, 6 to 9 targets with Darnold. 9 wide receivers have had 6 to 9 targets against Miami. 8 of them have had 76 yards or a touchdown. Jarvis Landry at Denver.
Flex.
Flex.
Yeah, he's good flex.
Cortland Sutton against Cleveland.
I'm starting him.
I think he's a very low end number 2 receiver.
All right.
After watching Brandon Allen.
He's a treat that your parents need to check first. Like, you want to see Brandon Allen make sure that he's okay.
Well, what does that mean? Is that you starting Cortland?
I think you're starting him. I think you're starting. It's kind of like Odell Beckham. I think you're starting him with the hope that things are fine, but it's not great.
Who do you like better?
I like Beckham better.
I like Beckham slightly better, but I may change that by the end of the day.
I think I have Sutton one spot higher. I think I may have him actually projected for the same exact number of fantasy points. Yeah, Sutton one spot higher.
I'm very nervous. Very nervous about it. Just, I think a lot of people don't really want to start Cortland Sutton this week. You sort of want to see what happens.
It's going to be a low bar to be a top 25 wide receiver this week, I think. Right. Or there are going to be a lot of guys that nobody started.
I think it's probably the – I don't know nobody started, because I think like the Parkers, the Amendolas, the you know, maybe Deontay Johnson, you know, those type of guys could surprise us, you know, quote unquote, because I don't think there'd be huge surprises. I don't think it's going to be a Kiki QT, you know.
It'll be one of the Titans guys.
Could be.
Yeah. Cole Beasley maybe.
Yeah, I mean –
Again?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll get into the games. New England at Baltimore is our first one. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. The Patriots at Baltimore on Sunday night. Very excited. Anybody think Baltimore's winning?
Yes.
Nice.
No, I don't.
Yeah, me either. Stat of the game, Patriots DSTs finished top three, 7 straight weeks. Number one, 3 straight weeks, facing the Ravens, who allow the 3rd fewest fantasy points DSTs. If you own the Patriots DST, would you be looking at another one or just start them? I know they're not number one for you this week. What do you do?
Start them.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to bench them for the Bills?
Starting Lamar Jackson, but look at his game against Pittsburgh. Like, that could be the type of performance that you're going to get from him.
I've gotten several questions about, should I sit Lamar Jackson? I've got no questions about, should I sit the Patriots defense? I would rather sit the Patriots defense than sit Lamar Jackson.
Would you start Lamar Jackson or Gardner Minshew if you had the choice?
I would start Lamar Jackson.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not me. I'd take Minshew.
I'd start Minshew too.
Who would you start over Lamar Jackson? I think Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I was just thinking of the only guy on the waiver wire. Like, I wouldn't start Derek Carr over Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't start Sam Darnold, you know, the guys that we spoke about on Tuesday. You know, I think Mitch is the only one that has the chance for higher ceiling. It's going to be, like I said, I'll go back to what I said earlier. It's going to be a fun chess match to see how Belichick tries to make things tough on Lamar Jackson, and will he have success?
I noticed one thing that Devin McCourty said this week. He said that the offense is similar to what the Bills ran with Tyrod Taylor when Greg Olson was the offensive, or not Greg Olson, Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator in Buffalo. So that leads me to believe that they've got a pretty good beat on what Baltimore's doing. And unless there are too many new wrinkles that the Ravens put in, they're going to be able to handle what Lamar Jackson's given them.
I think the interesting thing is, and we talked with Pete about this, they can't necessarily do exactly what they normally do defensively in terms of their man coverage and turning their back to the quarterback because of the threat that Lamar Jackson presents. So they do have to, they have to make some adjustments for the Ravens, which probably makes them a little more susceptible.
I bet they play more nickel and dime coverage than they have all year long.
All right. Well, if we look at
That's what Pete said.
Right.
Say that's what Gus Bradley did in the playoff.
Yep. Yeah. I bet that's the route they take.
You know, Lamar Jackson.
And that's good for Mark Ingram, actually.
Lamar Jackson's 7th for Jamie and Dave. He's 4th for Heath. Wilson, Prescott, and Watson, everybody has them ranked ahead of Lamar Jackson. Dave and Jamie have Aaron Rodgers, Gardner Minshew, and Matthew Stafford also ranked ahead of Jackson. Heath does not. So Jackson's, you know, still a top 8, still a top 7 quarterback and top 4 for Heath.
I do think he's the best fantasy quarterback in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I think so, too.
Well, I mean, look, you can't really run against Baltimore. And we'll see if Earl Thomas plays. That could be a factor. But they are getting Jimmy Smith back, which is nice. So, yeah, what do you think about Brady? Good start, great start, bad start? What do you think?
I keep dropping him further and further. He's at 12 right now. So I would start Derek Carr over him.
Yep. I haven't found that yet. But the week is still young. I would start him over anybody in the Thursday game, obviously. But it could come to a point where he falls out of the top 12.
Patrick Mahomes is the only quarterback to score more than 17 fantasy points in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues against the Ravens, which is really interesting. Wilson had a bad game. They haven't faced a lot of good quarterbacks, I will say that. Probably just Wilson and Mahomes.
I think they've Murray just gotten to the game. Like, they lost a lot of players, and there was kind of, we've had this debate with Seattle too. Is the system good enough to be a good defense with the pieces they lost? And I think they've gotten to the part of the year where it's good enough now. I think they're a good defense.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you saw the one game without Brandon Williams, and Nick Chubb was a monster. Right. And then Williams has been back, and it's like you said, Adam, you can't run on them. And, you know, adding Marcus Peters to Marlon Humphrey and now getting Jimmy Smith back, so the secondary is looking better. You know, I think the pass rush is still questionable, but, you know, this is going to be an interesting game to see because they're as healthy as they have been coming off of a bye week against the Patriots offensive line that continues to struggle. And so will Brady still have success? It's, you know, you can't feel comfortable with anybody outside of Edelman in the passing game.
Okay. So,
James White?
Well, I'm sorry. The receivers.
Yeah. Let me get the rankings.
I think that that's the key
guys.
For the Patriots.
So who do you like in this game? You know. So by the way, Dave has Brady 8th, Heath has him 15th, and Jamie has Brady 12th. So who do you like in this game? You know, I can't imagine we're going with Marquise Brown, right? Too risky.
Right.
Edelman's a must start. We already talked about Ingram. He's the number 2 running back, but this could be a really tough game for Sony Michel. James White is so consistent. He is, so far this year, the number 23 running back in PPR, and he's been absolutely terrible in half PPR and non-PPR. So you know,
but look at per game. He's better on per game because he missed the one game.
I've been looking at per game. Per game, he's 42nd in non-PPR, 38th in half PPR, and 23rd in PPR.
Okay, I thought he was better.
I thought so too, but only one touchdown. But all right, so like, just go ahead. Give me the starts and sits.
Well, for Michelle, he's played 5 games with Rex Burkhead and 3 games without Rex Burkhead. And in the 5 games with Burkhead on the field, he's averaging like 6.7 PPR points per game. Scored 1 touchdown in those 5 games. And in the 3 without, he's like 19 points per game. You know, so it's a dramatic shift when Burkhead plays. And that goes to last week's too, when Michelle had all that work. So typically it's, you know, Burkhead is just taking work away from him. But last week it was just, you know, fluky that he didn't have a big game despite all the carries. I can't start Sony Michel.
I think some good fortune has kind of masked the same thing with James White, though, because you look at his touches, 9, 6, and 6 in the 3 games that Burkhead's played. Now, he scored a touchdown in one of those, and he had a long catch last week, so he had 75 yards receiving. The other games without Burkhead, he had at least 8 targets in every
game. His numbers pop the last 2 years when Burkhead's off the field.
I'm a little worried about White, too.
It's funny because our colleague George Maselli, you know, he's a Patriots fan, and he said, we were talking about this yesterday, like, you know, Belichick typically likes to save one of his running backs for the postseason. And he said, you know, for years it used to be James White, and you'd see White just get all that work in the playoffs. And he thinks now that could be Burkhead is kind of the guy that they're maybe sort of kid gloves with.
So who are the starts and sits of this game? are you starting Michelle and James White?
You don't want to start Michelle if you don't have to. I think White will be fine in PPR. I think Rex could. This is a White and Burkhead game. I think this is how you attack Baltimore.
Oh, I think it's an Edelman game too.
Sure. It's the short area passing with a couple of deep shots mixed in, but getting rid of the ball quick is going to be huge for Tom Brady. So maybe Burkhead is a deep sleeper this week at running back, but I like James White. I think he's going to have a big role.
But you wouldn't start Burkhead over Michelle. Like, Burkhead, he had almost no work last week.
It's probably too risky, but yeah, in PPR, it wouldn't surprise me if they're close. Okay. But both not great.
Just a matter of how much Burkhead plays.
Would you start Michelle or a Chargers running back?
Both Chargers running back.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd start an Eagles running back.
I'd start both dinosaurs in the Buffalo-Washington game over Sony Michel.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right, cool. And that's pretty much it. We're getting away from Dorsett and Sanu.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's just not a good matchup for them. And obviously, Mark Andrews, you're starting.
Yeah, Mark Andrews struggling a little bit lately, but I don't see how you get away from
him. He had all those drops in Seattle.
He
gross.
Did, but he has 45 yards in 4 of his last 5 games.
I wouldn't expect a big game, but you know, I don't think he's at the point yet where you're starting Darren Fells or Jonnu Smith over him.
And just going back to Marquise Brown, I do prefer him to a lot of the guys we've talked about here at the end. Like, I prefer him to both the other Patriots receivers.
Yes.
I prefer him to Sony Michel in PPR.
Yes.
I prefer him to James White in non-PPR.
Let's make sure he's playing.
I mean, okay, this is a brutal matchup. I mean, I don't know how good the Patriots' run defense is. I do know they have amazing cornerbacks. I don't know that, like, he's going to get shadowed by Gilmore.
And they're not going to play man against him, I don't think. Not very often, because they can't turn their back to Lamar Jackson. They're going to try and keep that big
play
away.
But they could have Gilmore follow him and still play all the...
All the zone, sure.
All right. That's
probably what you'll see.
That's New England and Baltimore. Dave, Jamie, and Heath are going to switch studios, so we will talk about Houston at Jacksonville in like 2.5 seconds. Ooh, spooky. By the way, friends, if you are just looking to find a particular game that you want to hear, you know, you have players in a particular game, always check the time codes in the descriptions, okay? I try to help you out. The time codes might not be exact, but they're within 30 seconds. You know, I never, depends on the ad that plays in the show, but check the time codes if you are just wanting to skip around and hear particular games. I lay it out for you in the episode description. All right, what's next for us? We got Houston and Jacksonville. Deshaun Watson has not scored more than 21 fantasy points in 3 starts against the Jaguars. In 2 starts, he scored 12 fantasy points. Do you have any hesitation to roll with Deshaun Watson this week?
No, not unless you've got Dak or Stafford or Russ.
We've all got him in our top 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Conflicting stats of the game. The Jaguars have allowed the 7th most pass plays of 20-plus yards and the 5th most pass plays of 40-plus yards. So you'd think, oh, big play receivers, they do well. But every wide receiver that has done well against the Jaguars, pretty much, yeah, I would say everyone, has had 8 or more targets, and I don't think Kenny Stills is getting that. So start or sit Kenny Stills?
Sit him.
Okay, and they're going into their bye next week, so that's why I said you can drop Kenneth Stills. Well, that brings us to Carlos Hyde. How do we feel about him? He has scored 7 or more non-PPR fantasy points in 6 of 8 games. That's not bad. He's the number 26 running back in non-PPR. I know in PPR you don't really want Carlos Hyde, but how do you feel about him against the Jaguars?
You said not bad?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about him. I think he's not bad. I think you'd prefer to start somebody else, but you can kind of hang your hat on him getting at least 70 yards.
I would put him in the same range as Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore.
Yeah, I take those guys way ahead of him. I think they're much better situations.
They're flexes.
Yeah, for me. I think Peterson's a start. I think Gore is a potential starter. Hyde is nowhere near those guys.
Why? They don't have, because I don't know about Jacksonville's run defense. They don't have Marcel Darius anymore. Why, Jamie? I'm not disagreeing, but just why do you feel that way? Because they're all kind of similar players.
Even without Darius last week, they were still good.
They were, but, you know, Le'Veon Bell's been so bad this year.
Carlos Hyde's been great.
Well, he's on a per carry basis, he's been probably almost a yard better than Le'Veon.
Yeah, is Tunsil playing?
Don't know.
He practiced, so did Titus Howard. So their line could be pretty close to full strength.
Okay, would you start Devin Singletary or Carlos Hyde?
I'd start Singletary and Gore over Hyde.
I would start Hyde over Singletary in non-PPR. I'd start Singletary over Hyde in PPR.
Yeah, I'd rather have Singletary in both.
Start Hopkins, sit Stills, no QT. Darren Fells. Let's talk about Darren Fells. They've struggled lately, Jacksonville, against tight ends. Fells is top 12 in non-PPR in both formats. And in his last 6 games, he's had 3 games with 6 or 7 targets and 49 to 69 yards and 3 touchdowns in those games. He's had 3 games with 1 or 2 targets. So you just never know.
That's a low-end starting tight end. That's what you get now.
One game without Will Fuller, though. That's the sample size I would look at.
4 of the last 5 tight ends with at least 3 targets have given you at least 11 PPR and 6 non-PPR points against the Jaguars.
I feel confident he's going to score somewhere between 2 and 18 fantasy points.
That's good. They'll take the under. No, I'm just
kidding. According to Ian Rappaport, Benny Snell had surgery to repair a torn meniscus. Trim his meniscus.
Oh, no.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie.
So he's going to be on the shelf for a while.
3 weeks.
Yep.
Would you start Darren Fells or Jason Witten at the Giants?
I would go Fells.
I would go Witten.
I would go Fells also.
All right. They are good streaming options this week. Gardner Minshew or Lamar Jackson?
Minshew.
Lamar.
Minshew.
Come on, Heath. You're the Minshew guy.
Yeah. I've got him 6th.
And you're the low guy.
We've seen that. This is the story that we've seen before. I've got him right about where I had him last week.
Yeah. All right. Well, do we think he's going to have another big game, though? Because he last week was his first game with more than 24 fantasy points. He's usually in the low 20s.
And I think he's going to have another big game. The Texans' defense has given up like 31 fantasy points per game over the last month.
Yeah, like I said, though, they could get 2 starters back, Tayshaun Gibson and Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah, you know what starter they're not getting back is J.J. Watt.
True.
And that hurts their pass rush. And even if they get those guys back in the secondary, they haven't played very well. I think you're looking at Minshew having time to throw. He's got Chark to attack with downfield. A lot of other guys to make plays, including Fournette. And I think Gardner Minshew's got a shot at exceeding 25 fantasy points.
You all have Aaron Rodgers and Gardner Minshew back-to-back. And for Jamie, it's Minshew over Rodgers. For Heath and Dave, for Heath, it's Minshew over Rodgers. For Dave, it's Rodgers over Minshew, but they're back-to-back. Fournette, you're going to start. It's not a great matchup. Are you avoiding Fournette in DFS?
I haven't seen his price, so I'm not sure.
It's not on the main slate.
It has to be a showdown.
It's a London game in the morning.
It's a London game, right.
But I would start Minshew in the captain spot. I wouldn't start Fournette there.
Houston, since week 1, they're giving up like 3.4 yards per carry to running backs.
Yeah, again, no J.J. Watt.
A must start.
Yeah.
That's true. He's going to certainly hurt their run defense, his absence as well. Okay, then the wide receivers. Give me your takes on Chark, Westbrook, Conley.
Start Chark.
You got to start Chark. love the matchup for him, even if the cornerbacks are healthier for Houston. Conley is an interesting low-end flex, but I would only trust him if there's no D.D. Westbrook. Westbrook would take the spot of a good flex, maybe even a low-end number two PPR receiver if he were to play.
I would just be concerned because he played last week and left because he wasn't healthy. So
yeah, it's so annoying.
Well, did he aggravate the injury or did he just not feel right after?
I think he aggravated the injury.
I think he aggravated the injury.
Right,
he's dealing with the shoulder injury now for weeks, missing practice. So
I hope
if he plays, that I would probably avoid both of them. If he doesn't play, then Conley is a very good starter.
Right, and I would start Conley over Beckham if Westbrook were out.
Yeah, I can see it.
Would you guys, or just in the I could see that category?
It's in the
I could see that category.
Conley over who?
Beckham.
Odell Beckham.
I would not do that.
If Westbrook's out. And yeah, if Westbrook were in and completely healthy, then I would feel pretty good about D.D. Westbrook. But Jamie mentioned
in a PPR, I think
troubling.
I would too. But that's just not the case.
I think you're just way more down. Like if you had your rankings, Odell Beckham would be around 40 in your rankings.
No, I think he'd probably be in about the same range because it's not a good week for wide
receivers.
You'd
have Chris Conley top 20?
If Westbrook were out, probably. You're talking about the Texans allow the most fantasy points to wide receivers. Conley's had like four good games this year, and it's just a really good matchup.
I think one was against the Texans, right? Didn't he play well against him week two?
Yes.
I know week one he played well.
He had four catches for 73 yards on five targets. And D.D. Westbrook also had five targets in that game.
Right. So I'd be nervous about starting a guy whose upside is 11 PPR points.
I don't think that's his upside. That's with Westbrook playing.
On the field, but we've seen his upside the last two games when he's had 14 targets, over 180 yards, I believe, and a touchdown.
Yeah, that's kind of what
I was
thinking.
Well, I was just comparing him to Beckham.
Yeah, Beckham.
Well, his last two games have been better.
Yeah, I know.
Denver's defense is very good. We're going to get to that game in a bit. Jacksonville DST, we already talked about. Heath, tell me about the kickers in this game. Okay, never mind. Indianapolis is at Pittsburgh. Stat of the game. Talk about this one. The Steelers have been really good against the run last 3 weeks. Let's talk about the other side of the ball and Jalen Samuels, though. Last 3 weeks against the Colts, they've gotten better against the run. Damian Williams had 9 carries for 23 yards. Carlos Hyde had 12 carries for 35 yards. That's terrible. The Broncos running backs were kind of okay. So they look like a bad run defense, but they've been better lately. How much do you like Jalen Samuels?
If he's the only back for Pittsburgh with Connor out and Snell out, you have to start him. It's too good of an opportunity. And you know that he's capable of impacting the passing game. There's just too much upside.
So yeah, he'd be a top 20 running back if James Connor was out.
That's it, huh?
For sure.
Yeah, I go higher than that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's like Latavius Murray-esque, you know, if
he
he's
could.
Got a chance
I think
to
that,
just win you
I
a
think
week.
That exists. I think that potential exists.
Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be that good. He'd be top 15 good.
All right, would you start him over Beckham?
Yep. Yeah, if Connor was out.
If Connor's out. It's all about Connor being out, yes.
The Steelers have had a running back score a touchdown in four games in a row.
Would you start Jalen Samuels over Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yes.
Yep.
I probably would not. I do think if Connor's out, we'll probably see a few more pass attempts from Mason Rudolph.
All right. So nobody's starting Mason Rudolph, right?
Two QB only.
Okay. Somehow the Steelers have scored like 20 or more points in six straight games or something. It's weird. And that's very important for Jacoby Brissett. The Steelers actually are putting some points. Yeah. Six straight games with 20 or more. Four straight games with 23 or more points, which would bode well for Brissett, but we'll get to the Colts in a minute. Is Juju a must start?
Yes.
Yeah.
By default.
And I gave you that stat about Deontay Johnson based on the amount of targets he typically gets with Rudolph and what that amount of targets is against the Colts. He should be in line for a good game. I know I gave the stat, doesn't mean I necessarily believe it, but that's what the numbers would say. How do you feel about Deontay Johnson?
Number 3.
Good flex, for sure. Probably have him too low in my rankings. I currently have him 31st among receivers in PPR.
That's higher than I have him. I feel like I might have him a little too low, but it's difficult to think like Juju's going to be a top 20 receiver.
100%. Yeah, one of these guys is going to fail. And so I think this is a – what did you say, Adam, earlier? Like 70 yards with the targets?
Oh, the stat.
Receivers
okay.
against the Colts with six plus
six
targets.
To eight targets. It's what Deontay Johnson gets. And there have been 9 wide receivers with 6 or more targets. 8 of them have had 75 yards or a touchdown.
Yeah, I could see 75 yards. That, you know, without scoring, and that's still fine to make him a flex. But he's not going to score in every game he plays with Mason Rudolph.
Probably not.
But I think he could. I think you can make the argument that he's got more upside than Jarvis Landry and Mike Williams.
It was 72.
Right now, those guys are ranked ahead of him.
You can make the argument. They're in the same range. I think they're all very similar type receivers this week.
How do you feel about... okay, we're not starting Vance McDonald, right? No. How do you feel about T.Y. Hilton?
I'm nervous. I've got him as a number 2 receiver.
Yep.
Since they got Minkah Fitzpatrick, opposing receivers against the Steelers with 6-plus targets have maxed out at 7 non-PPR points and 12 PPR points, no touchdowns. And T.Y.'s had at least 6 targets in all but one game. And I think it's pretty obvious that T.Y.'s production, or Brissett's production rather, is tied to T.Y. And so if the Steelers do a good job of kind of erasing T.Y. Hilton, Jacoby's going to struggle. I think this is a dink and dunk game for the Colts, and I think they have a hard time putting points on the board. And I think you're starting T.Y. hoping that he can get loose for a touchdown.
I mean, yeah, he's no Devontae Parker, T.Y. Hilton.
Or Alan Hearns, right? Brissett, we already talked about.
But
18
it's
for David
been
Jamie.
Those secondary and you know small-time receivers that have been scoring on the Steelers.
That's mostly all they've played.
They've done a good job taking away number one outside guys.
They've played the Bengals. They've played the Ravens. They've played the Dolphins. And then they did a good job against Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm sure people are going to be starting T.Y. Hilton. Just we don't love him this week. And
I think he's I'm very happy starting him. I think he's a high end number 2.
I like him too because I just think that the best part about the Steelers defense is their pass rush, and I'm going to bet on the Colts offensive line. I mean, that's really the matchup.
They had problems last week with the Broncos pass rush, and I think this is a tougher.
I just think it's
opponent for
it's also a home road thing for the Colts.
Well, that's a good point. That's always been really a thing. It's often been a thing for T.Y. Hilton. But again, he's ahead of Beckham. So, you know, you're not going to sit him. Marlon Mack, we already talked about. Brissett, Heath likes Brissett a lot. Dave and Jamie, not so much. Marlon Mack, who was the low guy on Mack?
I think it's me.
It's you, right. Okay. 16 or more carries in 6 of 7 games, 18 or more carries in 5 of 7 games. It's a tough matchup for sure. Would you start Jalen Samuels or Marlon Mack?
Samuels.
I would start Samuels if Connor's up.
Right.
Samuels and PPR, Mack and none.
Thoughts on Ebron this week?
Stay away.
Low end starter. He could score somewhere between 2 and 18 fantasy points.
How about
do his targets go up in this game? Can you see a situation where he gets 6 or 7 targets?
No, that's rare for him.
Right. That's part of the reason why I can't see it either, and that's why he's not close to a top 12 tight end.
You don't need 6 or 7 targets to be a top 12 tight end.
No, to finish as one, but to feel good about starting one, I think you do.
Okay.
But I don't feel confident that a third of my top 12 tight ends are going to get 6 to 7 targets.
Okay, so who were the 2 we just talked about in the previous game? Oh, Darren Fells and Witten, I guess. You'd start over Ebron?
For sure.
Next game is Detroit at Oakland. This has bonanza potential here. So... what do you think about the... All right, we love Matthew Stafford this week.
Which teams can't you use for the bonanza?
I don't know. I haven't done a bonanza in 2 weeks. I think I'm retiring the bonanza.
What?
Yeah, I think I'm retiring it.
I think he already did and no one noticed.
That's yeah, why. kind of subtly put it into retirement. Detroit at Oakland here. The thing is, Oakland's so bad against the pass, but they're actually pretty good against the run. They give up 3.9 yards per carry to running backs. They do give up a lot of receiving yards to running backs. So do you like any... Lions running back this week?
No.
Barry Sanders.
Do you like a Lions running back better than Adrian Peterson or Frank Gore? Or
no, no, not even the same universe.
All right. Not like those guys are so great.
But I wouldn't dump Ty Johnson. I almost called him T.Y. Johnson.
Who is your favorite?
Keep Ty on the bench just to see what happens.
Who is your second favorite Lions wide receiver?
Amendola.
It's Amendola, but it makes me nervous.
I've got Jones.
Are you starting them over a receiver in the Thursday night game? Let's say Christian Kirk.
Yes. I'd start Amendola and Jones over Kirk.
I would start Amendola. I believe I'd start Jones as well over all receivers in the Thursday night games.
I would take Kirk.
Yeah, I would take Sanders over Jones.
But these guys would be behind Jalen Samuels, right, if Connor's out?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. How about Philip Lindsay or these guys?
Lindsay.
Start Galladay, obviously. TJ Hockenson. Yeah. The Raiders give up the third most fantasy points to tight ends. Does that matter?
I'm going to drop him in my rankings so that he can have a good week. It's a good matchup, and it's a high-scoring game. It's everything you really want from your streaming tight end. His lack of involvement is disturbing.
Yeah, last week was a good matchup in a high-scoring game, and he did nothing.
Right.
He is almost touchdown Hockenson. Almost TD Hockenson. He gets a lot of those, almost touchdowns. But okay, so he's behind Fells.
Yes.
How about Ebron? Ebron or Hockenson?
Hockenson.
I've got Ebron.
Hockenson.
How about Derek Carr, top 12 quarterback this week? Does Darius Slay's presence matter?
Absolutely. Because I think they can line him up on Tyrell Williams, and that could make it harder for Carr to hit those longer throws. Slay will not impact the pass rush. You're going to see Carr have time to throw. That's a good thing. It might end up in a lot of dinking and dunking.
Might.
Okay, it will.
It's Derek Carr.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Fine. So
who would you start Derek Carr over?
Tom Brady.
I don't have it that way yet. I would start him over Wentz. I would start him over Rivers.
Can I ask you a question? You remember what happened when he had the Chiefs at home? Why is this any different? He had a terrible game. Every quarterback against the Chiefs in their building does well, and then Derek Carr comes along and was awful.
Was that the weather?
No.
What's that?
I don't think so.
That was this year?
Yeah, that was this year. It was like week two or three.
I think the Lions' pass defense is currently worse than the Chiefs.
I shouldn't say every quarterback at home does well, like Flacco didn't, but almost everyone does. It's like an amazing matchup, and Carr was bad. 10 points, 298 passing yards. You got to feel a little nervous about trusting your fantasy week to Derek Carr when you have Tom Brady, when you have maybe Carson Wentz or something like that. You know?
Yeah, no, I'd start Wentz over him.
I'd start Wentz over him, too.
I think, you know, you look at what Carr has done. I think it's like four of his last five with multiple touchdowns. He's been a little bit snake bitten in terms of hitting the 20-point mark. So, you know, I think this game's going to be a shootout. You said it's got bonanza potential. I don't think it's going to be Josh Jacobs going for five touchdowns. That'd be nice, but
all right. And he does.
Do you guys have Wentz ranked as if Deshaun's playing?
No.
And you still think he's going to be better than Carr?
Oh yeah.
I've got him like very close to.
Yeah, I do too. But I think Carr's just got the better outlook, better situation.
Yeah, but maybe. But I think Adam's point. You know, you have to take into account Carr. And like I just said, you know, he'll get multiple touchdowns and still finish around 18, 19 points. I think Wentz has a higher ceiling.
All right, start Josh Jacobs. Tyrell Williams, must start?
Yeah.
And Darren
Receiver
Waller.
Scored in every game. It's hard to argue against him, especially in a favorable matchup.
Yeah, and it hasn't been fluky. I mean, he's getting the targets inside the 10. Darren Waller is top three in both formats. We covered that's this game, right? All right, good. We're done. Cleveland at Denver. Gave you the stat of the game about those wide receivers against Denver. Robinson, Adams, Chark, Allen, Hilton, all single-digit fantasy points in PPR. Stat of the game number two, Noah Fant had 9 targets last week. Just something to keep in mind. 5 catches, 26 yards on 9 targets. His first game without Emmanuel Sanders. Cleveland has struggled against the decent tight ends they've faced. I know we're not really... Like, Jamie, I think, has Fant 14th in PPR. We're not saying to start Fant, but... You know, if you're in a deeper league, it's just something to keep in mind. 9 targets last
week. He's a possible stash candidate. If you're streaming tight ends and maybe you want somebody who could help you out down the line, that's why you'd have him on your bench.
All right, this is easy. Chubb is the best running back in this game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Run as far away from Baker Mayfield as you can.
Yep.
Beckham, people are going to start by
Jesus,
default.
Tony.
But it was a really dumb question that he asked at the end, though. Were you happy with the drive? Like, that was a really dumb question. If anybody hasn't seen it, the Baker Mayfield clip of him getting mad at a reporter. Beckham, Do you want to talk about Beckham? I mean, we've talked about him a lot.
I think we talked about him plenty.
Well, who are maybe some running backs that you would start over Beckham?
PPR?
Sure. Well, we're not talking like we wouldn't start. Would we start Gore and Peterson over him?
No,
I would not.
I'd start Peterson over him.
You really like Peterson?
Yeah, No, I can't do that.
He's been better than the last 3 weeks in non-PPR.
How about Tevin Coleman?
No, I'd go Coleman all the way.
Coleman over Beckham.
Yeah, that's easy. How about James White or Beckham?
Can I take Coleman over Beckham and Landry?
Combined?
Yeah.
I actually would. I think I would take Coleman too. how about, okay, maybe not in PPR. How about James White or Beckham?
White.
I'd go Beckham.
Beckham.
Sony Michel or Beckham, non-PPR?
Beckham.
Beckham.
All right. I hope he does well because you guys are saying Beckham a lot more than I thought you would. Sit Landry and Royce Freeman or Jarvis Landry?
Freeman.
I think Freeman's got more upside.
Freeman for sure in non-PPR. In PPR, I might go Landry.
Freeman's actually better in PPR than he is in non-PPR.
I think Landry will catch more passes than Freeman.
Might.
He could.
I'll go
Freeman
Landry
will get more carries.
Cleveland, by the way, has been awful against the run. 4.7 yards per carry, seventh most fantasy points to running backs. So, you know,
that was in the stats to know.
It was, but that was like an hour ago. So, Cortland Sutton, we already talked about. There you go. So Sutton and Beckham are basically like back-to-back. And that's it in this game, right? This is not a bonanza. This is a Costanza. Two more games. Washington at Buffalo. All right, J-Mate, Adrian Peterson. Go for it.
I mean, it's been three games with Bill Callahan, and the workload has been up. He's got 8 yards rushing or more in three straight games. He's got fresh legs after playing Thursday night, and the Bills are small up front. You can run on them. So I think this is a game where I don't love Adrian Peterson as a top 20 guy, but I think as a low-end number two guy compared to some of the other running backs and players we've talked about, I'll take the 8 points as a floor.
It's been too big of a topic in Buffalo about how the run defense has started to struggle lately. And I think they address it this week. And I think they take, they learn their lesson against AP.
McLaurin, we don't want to start. The highest we have him is 32nd. So try to get away from Terry McLaurin. And that's going to be it for the Redskins. Bill's DST is going to be awesome, right? Yay.
Should be very good.
Yep.
All right. Josh Allen or Derek Carr, guys?
Allen.
Definitely Allen in 4 point per pass touchdown leagues. I'll go Carr in six.
Yeah.
Unless Slay plays, then I'll go Allen.
I feel the exact same way as you do. But they're both top 12 for me. Low end number one quarterbacks.
Yeah. And look, Washington's done better against quarterbacks lately, but that's because those quarterbacks have not had a throw. Kirk Cousins threw for 285 yards on 26 passes. He just didn't have a touchdown. They also faced Fitzpatrick and Garoppolo. But the beginning of the season, we can't forget, Wentz, Prescott, Trubisky, Brady, all of them, 3 touchdown passes, 25 or more fantasy points, and 6 point for passing touchdown leagues. And that's, is Frank Gore better or worse than Adrian Peterson? I know I asked you that, but I forgot.
I've got Gore ahead of AP.
Yeah, I'll take Peterson, but they're close.
I'll take Peterson.
And Singletary or Gore?
Singletary for me.
I'll take Gore.
I'll take Gore and non-Singletary and PPR.
Fair.
Anything else from this game? Oh, John Brown. Sorry, John Brown and Cole Beasley. My bad.
John Brown's must start. Cole Beasley's deep flex.
Yep.
Okay, we can start Brown over Beckham, right?
Oh, yep. For sure.
Yeah.
Can we start Beasley over Beckham?
No. Come on.
JB, wake up. Get some Folgers. Jets at Dolphins. Sam Darnold or Josh Allen?
Josh Allen.
Yep. I've got Allen right ahead of Darnold, but they are back-to-back.
Ooh.
Top 13 quarterbacks.
Yeah, you can't really find quarterbacks who have done poorly against Miami. I guess, in general, how much faith do you have in the Jets' offense this week?
I think it's a get-right spot for them. I think that they can pretty much do what every other offense has done against this defense, and that's put numbers up. You just saw Mason Rudolph have a great game.
Great.
The numbers were good enough for him.
20 points.
I think Darnold can beat it.
250 and 2? Is that what you expect? I'm just, no. What you expect for Darnold?
Okay. What? 250 and two? Yeah, I think you can get that.
Hmm? I don't know. That's great.
Okay. I'm sorry about the word great. It's a good game. He can be good.
I'm nervous, but there's plenty of upside. I kind of feel about the Jets like I feel about those last three tight ends in my top 12.
Do you think this will be the worst quarterback performance against the Dolphins, right?
I think it's going to be right in the 19-point range.
So Keenum.
That's exactly what Keenum got. That was the worst quarterback performance.
Sam Darnold has not yet been as good as Case Keenum in the NFL.
Jeez, well, the last couple weeks he has been.
Eventually, I'm not saying he's not going to ever be as good as Case Keenum, but
no, I agree with you.
He's not been as good as Case Keenum.
I think, and I've been saying this about Rudolph all last week, I think that that's what you should expect against this Dolphins defense. The floor is good. It's just where's the ceiling lie for these mediocre quarterbacks? And so Rudolph did exactly what I expected. 18 to 20 fantasy points is what I would have put it at, and he hit 20. I think that's where Darnold's going to be. I don't see a very high ceiling for him just because of what he's shown us.
How would you?
And to be fair, Adam, you brought this up. Since the Lamar Jackson, Brady, Prescott, Rivers, it's been right in that range.
Right, and teams don't really throw that much on the Dolphins. They very few pass attempts. Rudolph had 36. That's the most all season against the Dolphins. So Le'Veon Bell's going to have to get going. 3.2 yards per carry coming into the game. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what James Conner was averaging going into the Dolphins game, and he obviously destroyed them. So start Le'Veon Bell. The receivers in this game, are there five flex-worthy wide receivers in this game?
I would start the two main guys for the Jets. Format's kind of dependent for Crowder because you get to score. And, you know, I don't know how many yards he's actually going to get, but I think he could have a 6 for 70, 7 for 70, 7 for 80 type of game. And I'm not playing Demaryius Thomas. I don't care how many targets he's gotten lately. So I'll play the two guys for the Jets and Devontae Parker just because his month of 11 or more PPR points in four straight games, three touchdowns over that span, I think it's worth buying into with Fitzpatrick.
I've got five of them from 27 to 44, like pretty scrunched up in that range all in this game. I'd go Parker, Anderson, Crowder, Preston Williams, and then Demaryius.
That's pretty close to what I've got. I think it's definitely format dependent. I'll take Thomas over Crowder in non-PPR. I'll take anybody against this Dolphins secondary. They've got no one, and the pass rush isn't there. It should be easy for the Jets to make.
But they
plays
have no offensive line either, you know. So it's bad on bad.
But I'll still take a quarterback with a semblance of talent over. Over in that situation, I should say, not necessarily over anybody.
Is Mark Walton a better flex than the wide receivers in this game?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
I really could see Robbie Anderson having. I'm going to FanDuel Robbie Anderson. I think.
Just scored three of his last five against Miami. I mean,
what's the problem?
FanDuel is a verb.
I am going to FanDuel him.
I'm going to FanDuel him.
Yeah. You know.
I like it. I think a lot of people will. I wonder if he'll be one of the more popular cheap receivers this week, which means that the other receivers on the Jets could be decent pivots.
Remember, again, I said this before, 9 wide receivers have had 6 to 9 targets against the Dolphins. 8 of them had 76 yards or a touchdown. And that is probably, based on what he's had in the games with Sam Darnold, that's probably the amount of targets that Robbie Anderson's going to get. He's had 6 to 8 targets in all 4 games with Darnold. All right, happy Halloween, guys. You excited?
What'd you buy for everybody?
I bought Kit Kats. Overrated Kit Kats for everybody. Well, I'm excited. I hope the weather's okay, and have a great time out there, everyone.
Stay safe. Don't egg any houses.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.